in his name. Luke's Gospel 24 and verse 47. And this is after his resurrection, and that means upon his resurrection, whatever he says will be part of his identification with us, or our identification with him, from what we have studied so far. So he says in verse 47, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, verse 46 now, and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, earlier on we said the word in his name is not like a charm. It means in his work, in his accomplishment. And we ended up by saying that it's not by mention. I know some songs say, at the mention of your name, every knee. I remember my brother used to make fun of that song because in the movie where we watched it, the person had the Ibadan accent. They went, at the mention of your name, every knee shall bow. Crazy boy. So, this is a mention of mention. If you are from Ibadan or here, you appreciate it. I am not from Ibadan, but I'm also from Ibadan because I grew up there. In fact, for years, people used to assume I was from Ibadan because many jokes I used to make, I use Ibadan accent. In his soul, the soul swore. He led the land of the Aaron speaking. A clear joke was he, who stays here? What is the time? Fourth now. Remember one teacher that came to teach us? And the man had the accent, then he was teaching physics. And everybody was laughing, he didn't get it. He said, if I was now most of a moving body, it's quite important to raise your air. If vibrational motion of a moving body is equally proportional to the ratio S, everybody was, they were laughing, they said, knee down there. So we're on there now, and we're still laughing. All right, how did I get here now? At the mention of your name. So it is there at the mention. People assume that it meant mention. It means at his name, at what he has done. Okay? And in the first service we said, if I say, in the name of Jesus, I am born again. I'm saying, because of what Jesus has done, I am born again. That's what it means. So when I say, in the name, I mean, because of his work. Because of what he has given us. And so when it says, in my name, that is, shall be preached. Remission of sins is now available because of what I have done. And so earlier on, we began to look at the things he said were because of his name. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Okay? The fact that you're baptized in Christ and the fact that you're saved is the name. That's because of the name. You're allowed to say that. Now, that these signs shall follow them that believe in my name because of what I've done. Now, when we said that, if you look at the things he listed, I said that in the first service, he mentioned casting out of demons, he mentioned taking up serpents, he mentioned drinking and everything. Virtually everything he said there, you can find it in Luke 10 already when they said to him, the demons are subject to us through your name in verse 17. But it appears like the new in Mark 16 was the utterance. You shall speak with tongues. Apart from the fact that the tongues are new tongues, kainos, they are actually new. So it's actually new. So, and that's not far-fetched because as we have studied, Acts 1:5 talks about you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, which Acts 11:17 refers to utterance. So in other words, utterance is available in the name, in the finished work of Christ, in what he accomplished in his resurrection. You know, we said that the ascension is a reality of the resurrection. While the resurrection can be seen with the naked eyes, physical eyes I mean, the ascension can only be seen by revelation. So the disciples had the benefit of seeing the resurrection, and we saw it witnessed in the four gospels. So the name definitely, you know, had to do with the benefits, the realities that come with the resurrection. And we said tongues is one of it. So tongues is actually an inheritance. It comes with what Christ has done. And in Mark 16:17, he calls it the new tongue, which is the word kainos. Let's look at that a bit closely. The adjectives used for tongue are similar to the reality of redemption. For example, by saying new tongue is similar to saying new man is a new creature. 3 Corinthians 5:17. Colossians 3:17, the new man. Ephesians 4:24, the new man. The new covenant. So, you could have said new healing of the sick or new casting out of devils. So tongues is, it takes on itself the adjective of redemption. Now, let's see other adjectives. In Acts 2:4, he calls it heteros, different kind. And that's the way he sounds. Tongues will sound funny. It sounds funny because it's an heteros. It's a different kind. It's strange. Heteros actually means strange. It's different from what we have been used to. It's a different kind of tongue, of speaking. Normal speaking, you go, the boy went into the house and took the toy. You know, tongues goes like this. House, toy, boy went in, house. Took. Irregular speaking. That is actually how tongues sound. Heteros. And so when an onlooker hears it, he'll call it foolish. Because that's how it should sound to the human mind. It is kainos. It is heteros. And that comes with the name. So, apart from that, look at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. Are you still there? Are you still there, church? 1 Corinthians 12 verse 10. Now, it's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Then he says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirit, to another diverse kinds of tongues. I don't know if you use the King James here. Use King James. Well, your pastor uses King James. So, you will be very wise. Even if you have another translation, have King James beside you. I love King James. I do. And so, look at the word diverse there. The word diverse there is italicized. And I guess that's what has misled people. Because the word diverse there will have meant different kinds. So people assume that when you speak with tongues, you can speak Chinese, Japanese, English, Manganese, and all this. But the word there is the word genus. Remove the word diverse. The word kind there is the word genus. Or use the word a kind. It's that adjective is used for a tribe, a nation, a language. For example, Yoruba is a kind of culture or race, as it were. Igbo is a kind of culture or race. I think even within those culture as it were, you now have kinds. So, the word genus is to talk about the uniqueness, the distinguishing of something. So if I say, kind of tongue, that means a unique mode of speaking. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Does that align with Mark 16:17? Does it align with it? Huh? Does it align with Acts 2:4? Heteros? Talk to me, church. So, 1 Corinthians 12. Again, where verse 10. Now, verse 29. Diversities of tongues. 28, sorry. Diversities of tongues. Again, the word diversity is the same word genus. Kind. Or a kind. So, tongues is tongues. There is no prayer tongues. Then when it comes to warfare, then pray. It's just tongues, alright? It's kind. A kind of tongue. That is a unique mode of speaking. So, those adjectives, let's see one more. 1 Corinthians 14:21. Are you still in church? 1 Corinthians 14:21. In the law, it is written, that is the Old Testament, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people, and yet for all they will not hear me, says the Lord. The word men there, again, is italicized. Men. Because this was a direct translation from Isaiah 28 verse 11. Now here again, the word other tongues there is the same word heteros. That is different, strange. So let's go to Isaiah 28:11, where this was quoted from. Isaiah 28:11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. Now, the word stammering, we'll look at that. We'll look at that quickly. The word another here is the word hubela. U-B-L-A. It means strange. Strange. Tongues is the word Lashon. So strange tongues. Strange. Something, a strange mode of communication. Let me say this. Other people's languages were never referred to in scripture as strange or new. You will hear an Hebrew tongue. You will hear the Babylonian tongue or Roman language. But this is called strange. That is a mode of speaking that is unique or very different. Let me see if I follow what we're saying here. Are you getting this? Come on, let me see. Are you following this? Please, if you do, so I'll know if you are not. Then he says, with stammering lips. Although the word lips here is the word sapa, Genesis 11:1, one speech. Speech is the word lips there. S-A-P-A-H. S-A-P-A-H. Sapa is the same word in Genesis 11:1. Speech. So when I say stammering, you know, when we say stammering today, it's like someone picking his words in a very incoherent manner. And so he goes like, I want to do. So it sounds like that. But the reason why stammering was used here was because of lack of vocabulary. The word stammering here is the word belage. B-E-L-A-A-G-E. B-E-L-A-A-G-E. It means something that will be mocked at. That is, people will mock at it. Okay? It looks like mockery, as it were. You see this in Psalm 35, verse 16, which was used for those who make fun. Hypocritical mockers in feasts. They gnash upon me with their teeth. So, something that sounds like mockery. The word stammering. So what it means is, when a man is speaking with tongues, you think he's joking. Let me see how you're following this. Are you getting this? You think he's joking. So, those are brothers. What's wrong with you? Are you okay? In fact, you can say, ah, are you fine? That's what's called stamp relief. That is, that's the way the Spirit of God communicates, right, spiritual things, as it were, in this time, and that's what tongues are called. So tongues seem to take on the characteristic or characteristics of redemption, all that Christ has done. Spiritual in nature, they are also called mystery. Just like the cross was called mystery. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. Tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, 2 is also called mystery. And so you see how unique tongues are. It's given same adjective, same description. And so in Luke 24, verse 49, so the more stupid your tongues sound, the more supernatural they are. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Someone say, ah, okay, but if this thing is of God, why can't we all be speaking the same tongue? See? His mind is affecting him. That's what happens. It's affecting him. He thinks it doesn't make sense. That's exactly what it is. It doesn't make sense. Luke 24, verse 49. So he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you take on you. Now, this is a very tricky text. On the face of it, it seems as though Jesus timed them. Wait till this time. But again, look at the word, till you be endued. The word endued means to put on, just like say, put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6:12. Put on. So he's saying, don't go to preach till you are put on this power. So the till is not like there's a limit on them. The till is like a condition before you go to preach. So it's two ways. It's either they knew the time or they determined the time. But let's leave that out for this service. So obviously he said to put on. So when you say the word enduo, it means your own activity. So these guys were supposed to put on. Why? Because the ability is already in the name. Put on or be clothed with power from on high. So when he opened their understanding, okay, and then they understood the scripture. What are the scriptures? How Christ died and how he's raised from the dead physically. He opened their understanding. Verse 45. That's the new birth. That's faith in Christ. He opened their understanding. So they're able to understand the scriptures. Shunani means to put everything together as one. Then verse 46 says, thus it is written, that is, they saw it, that Christ indeed must suffer, and then he is killed, of course. Then he rises from the dead the third. Then 47. Listen carefully to this. So that means, when they saw that, they saw something else in 47. And that repentance, which refers to remission of sins, be preached in his name. Now, is it be preached mentioning his name? Be preached in his work. Beginning in all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So, as Jesus gave them the gospel, he committed the truth that they have believed to their hands. So in the name of Jesus, he said in the morning, I am God's son. In the name of Jesus, I have eternal life. Yep. In the name of Jesus, God is my Father. We saw that in the morning, right? Right? Now, in the name of Jesus, I have responsibility. Preaching. He says that. He committed the gospel to the name. Or in the name. In Mark 16:15, it says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. In Matthew 28:19, it says, making disciples of every nation. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe the things I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you till the end of the age. Always. So, the name of Jesus, therefore, is our authority. Speaks of what we have in Christ. The name of Jesus also speaks of the claims of Jesus. The claims of the scriptures. What are the claims of the scriptures? Firstly, He died for our sins. He died for our sins. Luke 24:47. He died for our sins. Ephesians. For remission of sins. He died for our sins. It's a claim. A claim. We claim that He died for our sins. So we go into all the world to announce that. We announce that claim. It's a claim. We are proclaiming a fact to the world. So it's our claim. We are not aligning with science. We're not aligning with the political system. We're not aligning with commerce. No, we have our own claims. Hallelujah. We're not aligning, we're not saying the solution to this. No. We have a claim. Our claim says that Jesus Christ died for sins. And what gave us that authority to make that claim? Because we are in that claim itself. We are beneficiaries of that claim. Our sins are forgiven. Say, my sins are forgiven. You know you have that claim? That's a claim. So that claim is a message. We have a claim. The gospel is our claim. So it's not a reaction to a national condition. Maybe you get to a place and people are very poor. Say, these people need the gospel. These people need the gospel. So when you get to a place where they are very rich, the gospel needs this one. Or you get to a place and people are living in immorality. Immorality. Open immorality. They need the gospel. And then you go somewhere else. And those ones, if you just eye a woman like this, they will break the eye. So nobody eyes anybody. So those ones need what? The gospel needs this one. No. Our claims are independent of what happens in the world at each point. So we have the claims. In our claims, we say that Jesus Christ died and He rose bodily. He rose bodily. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. He rose bodily. According to the scriptures, He died for our sins. According to the scriptures, He was buried and He rose bodily. It's a claim. Hallelujah. According to the scriptures, we have a claim. And verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then our faith is in vain. Our preaching is in vain. So it's a key aspect of our claims. Hallelujah. Say, I believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Glory to God. In verse 17, he says, if he's not risen from the dead, then you are yet in your sins. So we make a claim. We make a claim that because we are not in our sins, we know that Christ died for our sins. He rose from the dead. It's a claim. So we are making claims. He rose bodily. We also claim that He rose victoriously. Where He said in Matthew 28:18, all authority He's given me in heaven and on earth. It's a claim. He gave us what He has done to make the claim in all the world. Hallelujah. So we are not the ones proving anything to ourselves. Praise the Lord. We are believers. Say we are believers. We are believers. When it says all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Now every time you read heaven and earth, he's talking about men. Man is the focus. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. So we have that claim. We make a claim that He is Lord. He is Lord. Acts 2:33. Being by the right hand of God exalted, and have received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, which He has set forth this, which you now see and hear. Acts 2:33. Look at 34. For David is not ascended to the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Let's take verse 36 together. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You make that claim. And that claim is the Lordship of Christ primarily in our life. In our life. That He rules in our life. His kingdom is in us. We make that claim. Look at Luke 4:6. Remember that temptation of Jesus. Luke 4:6. Thank you, Lord. He says, and the devil said unto him, I'll stop on 5. And the devil taking him unto an high mountain showed him in all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will, I give it to you. Now don't go far. What he meant here was reigning in men's lives. I'll give it to you. Men's lives. Because man is the focus of the earth. Not things. Man. So, whenever we talk about the rights and authority of Christ, we are talking about amongst men. By His death, pay attention. He now has the right, legal right, to be welcomed to men's hearts as their Lord and their Savior. He became a Savior legally. He became a Savior justifiably. Because He died for us. It's our claim. Follow this. So when you hear about the authority of Christ, the authority of Christ is with men. With men. Therefore, in Luke 10:19, quickly look at this. Luke 10:19. Verse 18 says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give to you power. That word there is authority. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, where do we tread upon serpents and scorpions?
through men. Through men. Serpents and scorpions obviously refer to the works of the enemy. The word to tread is the word pateo. P-A-T-E-O. It means to put something in check. To stop its influence. To tread. It's not to put your feet and fall down for God and match and don't do those kind of things. That's like making a comic out of it. He's saying to put in check the works of the enemy. Pateo. I think Luke uses it later on. I think so. Luke 21, 24. I think so. Let me check. Alright. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. That's the word there. To put in check. To put under control. So he says here, to tread upon serpents, that is scorpions. And look at the word serpents. The word serpents was used by Jesus in Matthew 7:10. Which one of you would your child ask you and you give him a serpent? Then in Matthew 23:33, he used it to describe the deceit and trickery, the cunningness of the Pharisees. So you brood of vipers. That's what he called them. Cunning crafty. But interestingly, in Matthew 10:16, he said, be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. What does that mean? Let's look at it. Was Jesus commending us to craftiness? Matthew 10. Are you there? Now, he says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, many times the King James has syntax issues. Where they put things together is confusing. Because he says, be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's opposite. So, and it says in the next verse, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and they will scourge you in their synagogues. That's descriptive of serpents. So no doubt, what he meant was, in the midst of the wolves, these are the wolves that are therefore as wise as serpents. You will now be as harmless as those and be as sheep. Does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? You just, words like that were just wrongly arranged. He could never have said, we should be serpents. Because the serpent throughout scripture was used negatively. But those who are in the midst, said in the midst of the wolves, because they are figurative. And these ones are as wise as serpents. Which is their cunning. But you and I, he has asked us to be harmless. As those. And to be as sheep. So that means that the King James translation was wrong. To imply that the believer should be as serpents. No. Every time you see the word serpent, it's used for something negative and evil. Hallelujah. Are you there? Let's see other places. Matthew 16:18. Sorry, Mark 16:18. You shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So again, he called the serpent deadly, a work of the enemy. In John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, the serpent in this story represented what beat the children of Israel, and then they died. Then he said, he now took the brazen serpent and lifted it, which shows identification. As they saw it, which was figurative. So Jesus will die for our sins, sin being the sting. Then he will be raised up. Raised up from what? From the dead. That whosoever believes that he died in our place and was raised together, praise the Lord, he shall receive eternal life. So the serpent again is negative. It represents here death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10, 16. That is 16, 6. These things were examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they did. Then in verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpent. Again, negative. Destroyed of serpent. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, 2 Corinthians 11, 3, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So, the serpent represents evil, trickery, deceit. Then, Revelation 12, 9. So, a serpent, is a serpent figurative of anything good? I ask the question, no. It's evil, trickery, Revelation 12, and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, would deceive the whole earth. So at no point was a serpent used positively. Serpent was used negatively. Also the word scorpions, you know, is the Greek word scorpions. It refers to a sting or the power to sting. You see it in Luke 11, 12 as well. Power to sting. So go back to Luke 10. So don't go and be deceiving people, say I'm only there as white as a serpent. Is that very clear? That was not for the church. That was for the wolves, those who will persecute and those who will come against the gospel. But let's go again. Luke 10. Verse 19. I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So the use of serpent here, is it for trickery or evil? Huh? By using the word scorpion, it means what will sting. Obviously here, is referring to the works of Satan that harms others and does evil. So he says to them here, behold, I give you authority. Then he changes the narrative immediately. In verse 20, he says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. That is, don't get excited at this. In this rejoice not. The word chariot. Rejoice not. That the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. That is, rejoice for salvation. So we don't have joy, we don't derive joy from casting out of demons. We don't derive joy. Well, joy, our joy is a permanent feature of our life. You don't cast out demons every day. Of course, you don't cast out demons from everybody. But you are saved every day. And you are God's child every day. You're born again every day. Every day of your life. So it says you rejoice in that. Ah, yesterday, ha ha ha. By my hand,
I cast out three princes of the air. He says, rejoice not in that. Rejoice because you are born again. Hallelujah. Say, I'm born again and I am glad. Say it like you're sad. I'm glad. Say, I'm born again and I'm glad. Praise God. Say, rejoice in that you are born again. Because in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 12 to 13, he says, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than this, because I go to my Father. So whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, why would he say this to them after he had told them, I give you authority? Which means the first instance, one of the reasons why he told them not to rejoice is because that authority was not theirs. He gave them to use it. But you see, upon his resurrection, that authority is not donated to you. It belongs to you. That's the difference. It belongs to you. It's now a right and a privilege, or better still, a right and an inheritance. They were casting out devils because Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost and power. Acts 10:38, went about doing good. But in this instance, the reason why we cast out demons is because of the name. And the name now is the ascension, which we said, the indwelling of the Spirit. So today, I cast out devils because of who I am in Christ. Not because Jesus is anointed, and because he does it, I do it too. No. He said, the works I do, he will do. And greater, because I go to my Father. And we said, I go to my Father means he is coming to where? Leaving us. Hallelujah. So we cast out demons today because of who we are. We are not casting out demons because of Jesus, because of Jesus, because of Jesus, because, and you put like this, because of Jesus, yeah, Jesus, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, just not to cover eyes from your rest. No, you cast out demons because you are in him, and he's in you, because of who you are, and because of where you are. And I have an amen here. That's how we do it. So, that authority is to get men free from Satan's oppression. Because the name is for man. From Satan's oppression. Our claims say that we can get men free from Satan's dominion. Do you have that kind of claim? Who has that kind of claim here? I have claims here. We have claims. Why are we so confident? Because Jesus rose from the dead. All authority is in him. And glory to God, we are in him today. So we have that claim. We claim that there is no authority that supersedes his own. We claim it. Is that claim? Is it claim? It's a fact that we believe in. Our founding view. In Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Hallelujah. So, the name, Philippians 2, verse 5, the name gives us a responsibility. A responsibility to make claims and make claims boldly. And God's power, because our claims are true, it confirms our claims. His power confirms our claims. We make claims. Praise the Lord. Philippians 2, verse 5. We're there the other time. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation. That is a status. Then took upon him the form of a servant. That's a status. Was made in the likeness of men. That's a status. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's a status. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's a status. Look at now. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. That is, he rose above the incarnation. He rose above the suffering. He rose above death. Above dying for our sins. He rose above all those names. And he says that at the name of Jesus, is that the mentioning of his name or his ascension? Every knee should bow. In heaven, in earth, and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What does that mean? That means there's salvation in the name of Jesus. So I say, every knee shall bow. If you don't bow now, you will bow later. And what do you think it means is, you don't agree Jesus is Lord now. Don't worry. At the end of life, you will tie your hand like this and you will bow. No. He's saying, God highly exalted him in his resurrection. That in that name, every knee should bow of things on earth, of in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is salvation. Not dictatorship. Oh yes, confess! I confess. Every knee shall bow before you. Every tongue confess that you are Lord. Jesus, I confess you are Lord. Jesus. Say Jesus, Jesus. The guy doesn't believe in the gospel. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, Jesus. When you see proper beating, you start to confess. No. He's talking about salvation. That means salvation became ours. Hallelujah. When he rose from the dead. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Of things on earth and under the earth. Because Jesus first of all descended in his death. Hallelujah. Then he ascended. So of things on earth, of things under the earth. Are you still there? And of things in heaven. He's talking about the descent of Jesus and his resurrection. Let me see how you understand that. Hallelujah. Remove the word things, actually. That's what's confusing us. So Jesus Christ in his ascension, by his accomplishment, what's the accomplishment? He went to the earth, under the earth, the grave. He rose from there. Hallelujah. He rose from there. He was seen physically in the earth, and he rose up in the heaven. Hallelujah. Because of that, every tongue that confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, is saved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it's not a tyrannical authority. No. It's an appeal. An appeal to reign in people's lives. An appeal to dispel the works of darkness in people's lives. And we have those things. So we go to men with those things. We preach those things. We announce those things. Hallelujah. Are you there? We announce those claims. And those claims mean that the power of Christ supersedes whatever Satan has done in anybody's life. See how Paul puts it. He says, Ephesians 1:19, the exceeding greatness of his power towards what that believe. According to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. every accomplishment, every function, every authority, every kind of position. So they have put all things under his feet. All those things are for the sake of the gospel. Hear this and write this down. The believer's authority is for the claims of the gospel. The believer's authority in Christ, they are for the claims of the gospel. We claim that Jesus Christ died and rose again for humanity's sin. Is that our claim? Is that our claim? Come on, church. Is that our claim? We claim that forgiveness of sins is in his name. We claim that. Sin and a reign of sin, which is the work of the enemy. We claim that Jesus Christ has authority to dispel it and give forgiveness of sins. That's our claim. So the believer's authority over every work of the enemy is to authenticate our claims. The believer's authority is not for selfish ends. That is why, pay attention here now. These signs, he says, shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons among men. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink anything, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So, the believer's authority is for the work of the ministry. For the claims of the gospel. It's not to dominate people's lives. No! Rather, is to remove men from under the dominion of the devil. Who's following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? It's not to, now we're in authority. Remember when we're in the burning house? Yeah. There was this thing they used to do. But I missed my own. When you're about to enter the senior class, the most senior class, they will baptize you into seniority. I watched the upper six people do it for the form five. No, they're moving. I watch them do it. And it's usually very terrible. Because it's the last one. When it came to my set, I was so lucky. You know, I went to see a guy who was a senior as well. So the guy was there, he was complaining about his food or something. So we're still arguing. So we're going back to the prep class. I just noticed that my classmates stood in one portion. Had not come alive. I said, what's going on? The guy said, you better run. As I ran, I didn't know where I was going to. I ran far. So I went to stay not too far from the hostel. At where they were, it was like a poultry. So I stayed there. I was shaking. I was hearing them beat all my meat. He said, where's Onoika? Because my nickname there was Pressman. So where's Pressman? Where is he? I was shaking where I was. So at the end of the day, I came to the hostel. He's around now. The seniors came down. But they were tired. So they just gave me like 12 strokes. And just, 12 strokes. The other ones, they beat me. My friend who became the head of school, they said, head of school. That was like head boy. They gave me special beating. Say, where's your noika? That's his mouth. Where is he? I was shaking. So I never got baptized. You know. So after that, you are not in authority. Now look at all the junior boys. Hey, you come here. Sit down here. Hey, hey. There's an acting funny. As I saw a senior who was in upper six. He went to the school butcher because they served food too late. I think 11:15 was the close. He served 11:16. And they had that authority. He closed down the butchery and asked people to rush the food. Know what to rush to? Oh, sorry. What do I? To eat it free. The women were crying. They said, "Oh, one place." That's authority. All sorts of authority. So people think that is the believer's authority. That you enter a place. Hey. You have entered. You come and see the glory of God. The glory of God in my life. I entered. I'm a son of God. I took dominion. All the Muslims, if I am making mistakes in the office, I'm in charge. Did Jesus ever do that? Who lost his throne because Jesus came? Nobody. What he did was he healed the sick and cast out demons. Everywhere Satan had wrecked people's lives, he took them from under his authority. Those are our claims. Those are our claims. Hallelujah. That's believer's authority. We are in charge. We are taking charge of this country. Yes. How can a Muslim be the governor of your state? What are you looking at? So Jesus called it apostle. How can Herod be your king? What are you doing with your life, the Christian life? Peter! Who is collecting taxes? Who? See, taxes. Who? When we are here, why are we not taking charge of tax collecting? Peter, take charge of the fishing industry. Take dominion! No! Hallelujah! Our work is spiritual. I said our work is spiritual. We cast out demons, we heal the sick. We preach the gospel and men receive eternal life. Hallelujah. So the believer's authority is for the claims of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Lesson from that. So the name is for claims. It's for the things we say Christ has done. Hebrews 13:15. So we preach the name. We preach his claims. We demonstrate it in people's lives. Hallelujah. How many of you have, when we started this series, you have prayed for the sick? Raise your hand if you have. Raise it well. Hallelujah. And they got healed. Let me see your hand. How many of you have cast out demons? You put, eh? I didn't say they cast out demons from you. Let me see your hand. Praise the Lord. You have to do more. That the claims of the gospel. How many of you have gotten a number of people born again? Raise your hand. That's what the believer's authority is for. We pray, as we pray, that men's lives are submissive to the gospel. Believer's authority. That all claims, all holds of the devil over people's minds and emotions, by the power of prayer and the preaching of the gospel, we dispel them. That's the believer's authority. Are you still there? Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The word there is the word homologio. H-O-M-O-L-O-G-E-O. The word giving thanks is the word confession. To acknowledge his name. To acknowledge. Because earlier on, pay attention, he had mentioned in Hebrews 2:12, we saw that in the first service, I will sing your name in the midst of the church. That is, I will sing about your work. So true Christian songs should be gospel songs. They should be songs that make claims to the name of Jesus. To what Christ has done, pardon me. They make claims. We make claims. There are some songs that have no relevance in some countries. Some, it's not just they are not eternal. They are not even internal. They are just there. Everything now double. Those are entertainment songs. Not bad. Particularly if you use it for aerobics, for gym. You know, there's some songs you listen to because you don't want to listen to wrong, what do you call it now? Perverse speech, so you don't listen to it. Don't take their words seriously. Just listen to it. You're driving, you're in traffic. That one, don't do that, because traffic audio has demons of impatience and anger. So, you know, there are some songs that make you suspect people. There are some songs. They say, Lord, lift me high above men. There's one universal song like that.
in my family raised me high.
And people will sing it in morning devotion. No. And in a morning devotion of family, you're all singing the same song. And you're above family and say, raise me above my family in the family prayer meeting. Those things generate the works of the flesh. Hallelujah. Jesus did not rise from the dead to make anybody a governor of your state. This is what we are saying. This is what we are saying. Jesus is being glorified. Can you see now? That the governor of my state is speaking in tongues. So when we sing, we acknowledge. We are making claims. Confession is a claim. We are confessing his name. The fruit of our lips. Sacrifice of praise. What is a praise? Hebrews 2:12. I will sing your praise in the midst of the church. What has he done? He has brought many sons to glory. Hallelujah. What are those claims? The word confession was used by Paul in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, that's the claim, that God has what? Raised him from the dead. Is that our claim? You shall be saved. Verse 10. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. So confession is making claims of what Christ has done. It's not I'm a star among many stars. Yes, yes. No matter what they're trying in my office or on my campus, I'm a star. That's not confession. Confession is making claims of what Christ has done. That one is positive speaking. Positive speaking. Making claims. In 1 Timothy 6:12. He calls that confession the preaching of the gospel. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou hast also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hallelujah. John used it a couple of times. Let me just give you so that because of our time. 1 John 1:9. When we confess our sins, is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse all righteousness. Our confession is what he has done. Hallelujah. 1 John 2:23. Come on. Let's write that down for another time. 1 John 4:2. 1 John 4:3. 1 John 4:5. 1 John 2:23. 1 John 4:2. 1 John 4:3. 1 John 4:5. And 2 John 7. It's talking about an acknowledgement. A claim. I claim Christ rose from the dead. It's my confession. So the preaching of the gospel is confession. The preaching of the gospel is confession. Confessing his name. I'm making a claim on his name. So this confession, write this down, is an acknowledgement of the facts of the gospel. Hallelujah. That's why the very first miracle that was recorded in Acts 3. It was a miracle that if you observe how Peter explained it, Acts 3:16, turn there quickly. That man at the beautiful gate. And his name. Why would he say that? Look at what he said before them. Verse 12. You men of Israel, why marvel at ye at this? Or why look at ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own holiness or power we had made this man walk. The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when it was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life. Pay attention here. Whom God had raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name. Hallelujah. What's his name there? His resurrection from the dead.
Through faith in his name had made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all.
So are you saying by the mentioning of his name or by what Christ has accomplished? Come on, answer me please.
Okay. So what they did at the beautiful gate
is an acknowledgement of the power in the finished work of Christ. It will dispel sicknesses and disease. It has the power of forgiveness of sins which we have seen. It has the power to heal the sick. The claims of the gospel is evidence with the healing of the sick, with undoing the works of Satan. The works of Satan. So, we demonstrate authority because of the gospel. What else? We also suffer for the name. Because there are places you will go and make those claims. And men will have, they will receive it. They'll go, glory! Thank you, Jesus. But there are places you will go and they will say no. He that believes and is baptized, he says, shall be saved. He that believes not. I've heard people say, the gospel is so good, you cannot hear it but believe. Stop talking like that. That the reason why the people have not believed is because they've never heard the gospel. Don't talk like that. That's like almost saying that a man has no choice. Men have choices. Jesus said some will believe, some will not. Jesus said, whosoever sins are retained, are retained. So there are people that will not believe. It doesn't stop there sometimes. Sometimes they will now oppose you. He calls them wolves, wise as serpents, dangerous men. But we'll still make our claim. Hallelujah. Some will laugh at us. They'll tell us that, who told you there was any Jesus at all in history? And sometimes you are in a class of professors. And you're a professor. Naturally, you are also intelligent. And you argue intellectually. Then you begin to talk about Jesus, and they're all laughing at you that, bros. Say, oh boy, you are too intelligent for this nonsense. How can you believe a book that was written how many thousand years ago? Books have been revealed, man. You know, you also be looking stupid. But you make your claim either way. Hallelujah. And you suffer shame for his name's sake. So it's not all good and dandy. There are some times who will be mocked at and they'll laugh at you. Are you well? I mean, when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Quoting David, they began to mock him. You're quite Elijah. But he despised him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in the name, we cast out demons. We heal the sick. We also suffer shame. There'll be those who will laugh at our claims. Some will even deny miracles that they see. Look at Acts 4. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Look at Acts 4. They threatened them in verse 18 that they should not teach anymore in the name of Jesus. Don't make this claims again. He has risen from the dead. Which dead? Stop saying that kind of rubbish. It moved from mockery to threat in chapter 5. Verse 40. When they had agreed with Gamaliel, they now called the apostles and they beat them. No, it was though. They beat them. Imagine you are just healed the sick. You are just raised the dead. Huh? And then somebody slaps your face and nothing happens to you. It doesn't make sense. You felt that if you are raising the dead and healing the sick, as the brain is going to hook. Can you see the name? I'm ready to be born again now. I'm ready. I'm ready. No, 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 no. The gospel works with faith. Hallelujah. Are you following what we're saying? You know, I remember years ago, I did a healing service somewhere in the Solo. So I went back home, and my dad had warned me about going out for crusades and meetings. So, you know, he was doing his leave or something, so we clashed. So he looked at me, "Where did you go to?" You know, the euphoria of the fact that a blind eye just got opened was all over me. But the way I entered the gate was different. Yeah, look at me. "So where are you coming from?" I smiled. I said, "I went to church. I went for healing. I didn't say, I was not even afraid." He gave me one day that, "Bah!" Now, I looked at the staff, and the way I looked at him, I can never forget that feeling. Blind eye. And I saw him and his glasses. "You want more than glasses?" I didn't know that I was also suffering for the need. Hallelujah. It didn't make sense. So, what are you doing? What are you saying? So the Bible says in Acts 5, they beat them and commanded that they should no longer teach in the name and let them go. Don't make this stupid claims again. Look at verse 41. They departed from the presence of the council, and then they held their hands. "Oh Lord, come down and manifest your power." Don't let the Ethan tell me where is your God. All those African traditional religion prayer. They can ask you, "Where is your God?" It's not a shame. Hallelujah. Where is God? Thank God. Remember how they prayed when he first threatened them. The first one. "Tell God, behold their threatening. And grant unto thy servants with all boldness. We may speak your word. And that signs and wonders might be done through the name of your only child Jesus." God cannot stop persecution. Since God cannot stop men from sinning by their own will, he can't stop persecution. But he can grant you strength and boldness in the name to keep making your claim. Hallelujah. To keep making your claim. I remember someone took us to one house somewhere outside Oretta, I told you then, and we got someone here. And we were excited. So the whole household came together. And you know, we're looking at emoji, we're four of us. We look at emoji, two sisters and two brothers. We're doing like this. We start the fellowship here right there. And all that. So we're still looking around. We just start hearing, pa, 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 pa. We're stoned, pa, pa, pa. I said, "Solomon, what's happening?" "Say, I'm something." "Say, ah." "Something. They are stoning us." "My slippers is in there." Hallelujah. But I suffered for his name, but I ran with it, you know. So, hear this now. They said, chapter 5, they counted it worthy to suffer shame for his name. Shame for his name. Praise the Lord. Shame for his name. Hallelujah. So the name of Jesus comes with them. He comes with the signs and wonders. It also comes with the suffering. Shame, mockery. You are still a Christian? Yeah. What are you doing with all this? The guy goes into your library and all he sees, "Because I pray." Even of his faith. Of what value is this nonsense for you? Where are you going to? I'm going for follow up. What's that? To check on people that are losing their mind. And sometimes those words will get to you because you are not yet developed spiritually. But when you do, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what Peter was saying. You are suffering as a Christian, not as an evildoer or busybody. You know, people do and busybody. You are putting your mouth in things that is not your own. And they give you a death. It's like, wah! That one, you are not suffering for Christ. You are suffering for poknosi. Praise the Lord. I cannot imagine how can a Christian, if you find a Christian who has never suffered before for the gospel, is a Christian who has no reward with God. That's tough, right? He has no reward with God. Because we have a duty to preach the name. We have a duty to dispel the works of darkness in the name. We also have a duty to suffer for this thing. Men will mock at you. They will make fun of you. Some will come hard against you. Count it all joy. Hallelujah. Are you still there? Look at Philippians 1. We close there. See, I have authority in the name to preach the gospel, make the claims of the gospel. I have authority in the name to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to take men out of Satan's oppression. And I also have the right to suffer for these claims. You know, you can heal the sick and people are against you. One of our brethren, I think it was one World Changers Conference, there was a guy who was insane. But they were using him to make money. And so the demon was cast out of the temple. And the whole town was surprised. Which year was that? That they now came after the folks. Which year was that? When some folks cast out demon in the Peru then, and then they came, was it Peru or Shagam? And then they came hard against them and wanted to mob them. Who was part of that group? You were one of them. Let me see. Okay. They wanted to mob you guys. What did you do? You ran. You stayed there. I know you won't have stayed there. If you have stayed there, you won't be here. I mean, they came against them for casting out the demon. Because that fellow was bringing money. But how come God did not stop them? He's glorified when they do that to you. Exactly. So learn to take counsel of joy. Paul says, this messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me. Lest I be exalted with abundance of revelation. And I said, God, can't this journey be just me? Can I just preach the gospel and walk out and be cool? Can this thing be taken away? He said, my grace is sufficient. Paul says, now I glory in it. I glory in it. Hallelujah. Why would you glory when the thing cannot stop? You will have to glory. Are you still there? Philippians 1. So when you take a hit for the gospel, what do? You rejoice. Hallelujah. Take a hit for the gospel. Rejoice. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given on behalf of Christ. Are you there? Not only to believe on Him, but also to what? Suffer for His. What did Jesus say to Ananias about Paul? I will show him. He will bear my name before kings and Gentiles and people. And I will show him great things that he will suffer for my name's sake. Now don't forget, the suffering is not imposed. It's an act of your will. I'll show you. So when you preach and they mock at you, don't feel bad. There's another pastor who call you. How was today's evangelism? Sir, can I call you back? Lori, I just want to call you back. Then someone will now call you and say, how you did? Ah, what's wrong for where evangelism like that? Just one thing. Is this thing really of God? Because the gospel should not be that way now. Maybe the way we are doing that actually is too strong. They say we should not give our indomie. We should not give out the weapon. We should not give our shoes. That's why people will be mocking at us now. I don't know. How do you do your own church? We don't stress ourselves. Those who are for media, people come in, free lunch, we show up. I'm just telling them about Jesus and they all like it. Hey!
Oh, you're a Christ die, Christ die, you rose from the dead, Christ die. That's all the gospel. That's not boring. Who they slap you? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. I preach the gospel in the name. I cast out demons in the name. I undo the works of darkness in the name. I take a hit for the gospel, and I am glad in the name. Were you blessed by this series? Turn to your neighbor and just share.